We got some work to do today, so I'm going to open an informational meeting on redistricting. And as we begin, for a quick overview, I would like to call Representative Menis forward, please, acting as Majority Leader here. And I'd certainly be happy to call the Speaker if the Speaker would like to join Majority Leader.
And, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to defer to the Speaker.
Well, good afternoon.
Allow him to make his comment first.
Good to have you here today. Thank you.
Thank you very much for allowing us to come in and address you for just a few moments, members of the committee. Chair Wilson, Vice Chair Devlin, one of the biggest tasks that lies before us this legislative session is redistricting and reapportionment. The redrawing of our congressional district boundaries for the state and the redrawing of our state legislative House and Senate districts. And I, as you launch into this, I just want to urge you to keep it an open process, keep it an opportunity for all the citizens of Oregon to come in and comment, give their thoughts. I know you're going to do a great job, and I look forward to the work product that you bring forward very much. So with that, I just wanted to add my blessing to your efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And good evening. For the record, my name is Karen Menis, State Representative from House District 20. Appreciate the task you have ahead of you. I know a framework has been presented in which we view it as a starting point, merely a framework. And I just want to commit to you that we will work with you to achieve a plan that we all are comfortable with. And I'm confident, given your abilities, we will be able to come forward perhaps with a bill that the governor can sign, working in conjunction with the Senate, to move forward with a bill perhaps this time that we can move through the process and all agree upon.
Thank you very much. Questions? All right, thank you. I'd like to call forward Marjorie Taylor and Steve Barnett, two staff members, and I will join them at the testimony table.
And I will hand the equipment over to Representative Devlin.
Representative Wilson, would you proceed?
Thank you, Vice Chair Devlin. I appreciate that. It is my pleasure to be here. I'm Carl Wilson, State Representative, District 49 in Grants Pass and Cave Junction. Joining me today, Marjorie Taylor and Steve Barnett. They're going to be redistricting staff, and I would like to take just a couple of moments to have them address to you what their exact roles will be in this process.
Thank you, Chair Wilson, Vice Chair Devlin, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Marjorie Taylor, and I'm the redistricting coordinator in the Committee Services Office. The Committee Services redistricting complex is housed in rooms 332 through 335 behind the Senate chamber, and we welcome all visitors. We will have two computer workstations available for legislators to prepare redistricting plans that may be considered by the Rules and Redistricting Committees. We will also have one workstation available for the public to use to produce similar plans. One of my roles in this process will be to assist legislators and the public when they are scheduling time to use those workstations. I have provided you a document that contains information about redistricting in Oregon. Briefly, this document highlights statutory criteria that the legislature shall consider during the legislative and congressional redistricting process. It also contains ideal populations for congressional, House, and Senate districts based on 2000 census data. It also contains the history of redistricting by the Oregon legislature. However, subsequent court challenges and actions are not reflected in that document. And a timeline for the legislative redistricting process is as outlined by the Constitution is attached to the last page. At this time, I would be happy to answer any questions, or please feel free to stop by any of our offices. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Any questions for Ms. Taylor? Chairman, would you like to introduce the second party?
Certainly I would. I'd like to introduce to you Steve Barnett, and Steve is our GIS specialist. I hope I haven't taken too much fire away from him by announcing that, but Steve, if you'd introduce yourself to that, please.
Chair Wilson, Vice Chair Devlin, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Steve Barnett. I'm the GIS analyst for the Committee Services Redistricting Office. My main function in the office is to keep the hardware and software necessary for the redistricting process running smoothly. You have a packet in front of you with three handouts in it. The third handout in that packet are the Portland State population estimates from July 1st, 2000 for the state of Oregon, four counties and cities. The other two handouts in that packet include House and Senate population estimates for, again, the House and Senate districts. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time, or please feel free to contact me in my office in room 334.
Does the committee have any questions for Mr. Barnett? Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Just for the record, I wanted to you to reiterate to the public the way that in which these estimates were derived, and that the total estimated population does not equal the total population of the state according to the census.
Vice Chair Devlin, Representative March, the numbers in front of you for the House and Senate districts were derived by taking county estimates and trying to, as best as possible, get those down to the House and Senate districts. This worked very well in our large rural districts and the urban districts. It did have some smoothing effect where the numbers, which are accurate at the county level, were smoothed down a little bit in the House district. There's about a 300-person deviation between the numbers in front of you and the Census Bureau numbers that was introduced by partial people being dealt with by the computer program. The computer program, not being human, doesn't always think of numbers as full numbers and had to take little parts of people and deal with them.
We won't look for a definition of partial people.
Parts is parts. And further, the estimates total is 55,499 less than the state total.
Yes. When the Census Bureau released the number in, excuse me, Vice Chair Devlin, Representative Marsh, when the Census Bureau released the numbers on December 28th, the numbers did come up slightly differently than the Portland State estimates had been happening. The belief is that that's kind of a compounding of 10 years since the last actual count of citizens in the state.
Interesting. Thank you. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, we are the lucky ones. We are chosen to do this very important task that only comes along once every 10 years. And as I have this perspective on my committee, I must say I'm proud to be involved in this with you. It's a great committee. It's great looking at you from this perspective, and I think we're going to have a, I think, very interesting time working on this issue. What we have before you, and you see, is a process document that has been crafted, which truly is, I think, a work in progress. We have put a lot of sweat equity into building this plan. We feel good about the plan, but yet as we move along, I think we have no real problem with adjusting aspects of the plan as it suits the committee. So I would appreciate your indulgence in the framework that we have here so far, and looking forward to beginning this process with the best numbers that we have available right now, and trying to enact this process in an efficient way, using our time as best we can before the official numbers come up. This is a plan that, as you can see, begins with small cellular groups. That would be groups of three, and gradually will expand into larger work groups of more people. We're going to be using caucus coordinators to keep in touch with you and to keep in touch with us so that we can keep up with the public process. I want to give you an example of something that I have already begun to do, and as you know, one of the great building blocks of this process is the groups of three, the senator and the representatives in each individual district. What I have begun to do already is I have begun to use the media in my district to try to let people know that I am involved in this process and that I want very much to know what they think about their particular area. If they have any great desires to see borders move, do they want to be involved in one district versus another, and so forth. We want to take a look at our areas and make sure that we're really doing what is right under ORS criteria. But to do that, we've got to engage the public rapidly. And so that is what I have begun to do in my group. And I feel good about the initial cellular building blocks because we know our areas so perfectly. As an example, in my area, I know the area of Merlin, which is in Susan Morgan's district. And I know the areas just outside my district in Representative Walker's particular area. And I know that some of them may want to be right where they are and others may want to move. But as we begin to do the heavy lifting, as the larger groups get together and the committee itself, in spite of building the record, we're going to have to make the calls according to criteria. And that is shoot it right down the line, making sure that we're achieving equity in these districts, and again, living according to ORS statute, preferring no one, but working to try to come up with a district that meets the criteria of law and will ultimately be signed by the governor. I would like to tell you that we are truly wasting our time if we're going to be involved in a process that is going to be openly partisan. We need to make sure that we are living by the law, and it would be a feather in the caps of all of us if we would have something the governor could sign. And I pledge to you as the chair of this committee, that is what I am ultimately concerned with and shooting for, and that is having a bill that the governor can sign. I think that would be a wonderful opportunity for all of us to say that here in this particular session, we achieved that. To do that, we're going to need the work of everyone here. And that is why, as we begin this process, as you get together with the other representative, the senator that you're involved with, that you have a friendly and frank discussion at the very beginning, knowing your districts the way you do and seeing the dynamics that you can see developing here, you need to engage, obviously, in a discussion, and a very frank and honest discussion, as to where the dynamics are pushing people and what ought to happen, what you'd like to see happen. And then gradually, that building block of three will expand into larger groups. And through our caucus coordinators, we will stay in touch with you, you will stay in touch with us, and we will move to the process where ultimately we have our formal hearings in district, and then our hearings here in the Capitol. And then, as I say, ultimately we'll have something that I am hoping that the governor can sign. Obviously, that passes, the governor signs, and that we can be pleased with. But the purpose of this whole document is to make sure that we engage the public in a timely way, along a timeline that is relatively strict, because we need to do the people's business here. We need to move ahead with this. But yet the document, I think, in itself gives us some play where we do have flexibility if we need it, if things just simply are not working out as planned. And as complicated as this whole process is, things have a possibility of not working out as planned. And that's why we've got good heads involved here, and that's why we have this committee to make the call on things like that. So we want to stay on track, and we want to stay on task, but we also realize that we may need to have some flexibility along the way if doing a good job involves altering a plan or two here and there. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention today, and I must say that I sincerely look forward to working with all of you in this process. Ultimately, I think we'll be proud of what we do. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Would you like to take questions from there or here?
I'd be happy to take questions from here.
Are there any questions for Representative Wilson?
Yes. Thank you. Representative Wilson, you mentioned meetings out with the public. Can you give me some ideas on what your plans are for having meetings outside?
We have two different kinds of meetings that I expect for us to have. The initial meetings are emanating from the groups of three, and those will be the meetings that we choose of our own volition to take back to our districts now. Your town hall meetings, using the media to the best of your ability in your home territory to let folks know what you're doing and what your concern is. The other meetings that we take out on the road, as we formulate it right now, will be committee hearings that we actually take out into the various districts. You'll be working with your caucus coordinators to determine how to do that and where to do that. We roughly know when we want to do that. But obviously, as we take a committee on the road, it involves a tremendous amount of effort, time away from this building, and I don't need to emphasize to you how stressful that is going to be out. But yet, we have to do that to fulfill our responsibility. So those meetings will be, in the secondary meetings here, will be meetings that we actually take out and do as a committee in our districts.
Any follow-up? Yes, Representative Gardner.
Representing Wilson, but in the current plan, it does only call for 4 meetings after the plans are already drawn, doesn't it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gardner, the way that we have our meetings set up now, the way we conceive of our meetings is the fact that, and let me answer your question directly. As I look at what this calls for, I look for flexibility to have more meetings if you choose. You can certainly do that. And those formal meetings are great and a very necessary part of this process. Frankly, I look forward to that, but one thing I really look forward to would be the meetings and the usage of my media immediately to begin building the public record, which I've fortunately already been able to begin in my process in my district.
Representative Gardner.
Yes.
Representative Verger.
Yes. Have you considered using the new technology of perhaps broadcasting to some areas in the initial meetings rather than going actually taking the entire committee?
Mr. Chair, Representative Verger, could I ask an amplification on that? It sounds interesting. I'd like to know exactly.
Well, what it was similar to, I think, Governor Roberts did that when she had some types of meetings. We've had a number of them in Coos Bay where we actually go out to the college. It holds quite a number of people that would be interested in it, and it's just simply broadcast to the people there in Coos Bay, which would be, of course, very interesting to them. I don't think you'd want to do all the meetings that way, but perhaps some meetings could be held if that technology could be used.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Verger. I believe we're interested in listening to everything that is feasible and doable, so I appreciate that. I'm not sure if you mean broadcasting over the Internet or using local broadcast media to do that. If you do mean broadcast media locally, that certainly will involve the willingness of a local station to do that. Being a radio station owner myself, I know how it works. And some may consider it an audience killer, but we can certainly prevail on them to open up their time if they would wish to do that.
May I follow up? I did this recently on the Judicial Resource Committee when the folks in Eastern Oregon would have been required to drive to Salem in order to make their presentations, and so they made them via technology there to the court building. It's an interesting process and one that I would be happy if we could at least take a look at. Would save time and expense, I think.
Mr. Chair, Representative Verger, I'd certainly be happy to talk further with you about that interesting concept.
Any questions from this? Mr. Chairman, one of the issues, of course, that's been brought forward is that these 3-member teams, obviously, I think there is some real value in gathering information from the representatives and senators that make up those teams, because in a lot of ways they probably know their districts far better than we do on an individual basis. Is it the job of this committee, and we know that we're serving with, you know, honorable people, men and women, serving in the legislature, to sift between what might be good, solid information on the district and what we know to be, sometimes we also have an interest in what our district lines are? Is it the job of this committee to sift through that information and determine what is a good indication of community of interest, and in there what we hope is a rare circumstance, that the information we're being provided is actually more vested in the interest of the individual representative or senator.
I thank you, Mr. Chair, and that is that's a good question. And I do think that based on the abilities that each one has in this committee, to be fair, we're going to be the ones that ultimately do the heavy lifting, this group as a committee. And I think we're all pledged to make sure that we live according to the letter of the law. As your chair in this process, I would certainly insist on that for this committee, and will certainly work with you to make sure that this committee, in looking at the sum total of it, the evidence, will make the correct calls.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, would you like to assume your position before I get too accustomed to it?
This time I would like to call Representative Dan Gardner. Mr. Party Leader, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, fellow members of the committee. It's a different view from this side.
It is.
Yes. I just wanted to enter into the record letter that I sent to, for the record, my name is Dan Gardner, State Representative from House District 13 in Portland. And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I wanted to enter into the record a letter that I sent to Speaker Simmons yesterday regarding the plan that's on here and some concerns that were that I had on it. There were a couple of things I wanted to point out a little bit that in 1981 and in 1991 there were interim committees prior to those two sessions that were established to look at redistricting prior to those sessions, and were some hearings on that process. That has not transpired during this last interim time span. And, you know, just wanted to express some serious concerns that we need to involve more communities of interest out there and conduct more hearings than are currently proposed within this plan, as well as some concerns about the three member cells in ORS 188.010, clearly states that no district shall be drawn for the purposes of favoring an incumbent. And currently, from part of that plan, at least it seems in nature to have a problem in that area. I just feel that we need the most most open public process that we possibly can in this job of redistricting, and feel that the committee should take into consideration going out and having field hearings, or even using an interactive television set up as Representative Berger suggested a little while ago. We only do the job of redistricting once every decade, and certainly given the fact that there are term limits out there, none of us have had the opportunity to, as legislators, be involved in a redistricting process before. And I certainly feel that those folks who live out in those communities know the communities much better than each one of us might in areas that we don't live in, and want to see that that we do have more people involved in this process. It is a plan that lasts for a decade, and I certainly look forward to working with the chair of the committee, the rest of the members of the committee, and finding the best plan that we possibly can for this legislative session. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gardner. I appreciate that. Take that into the record. Thank you. No, we're certainly all concerned about the public being involved here. Let's see. I think we'd also like to want to formally introduce our process document into the record.
Yes, it will be.
All right. Very good. Okay. Thank you. And this will conclude the informational meeting. And I'd like to open a work session for the purpose of introducing as committee bills a couple of legislative drafts. We have drafts LC 3000 and LC 2999, which are our redistricting bills. And I'd be happy to take a motion on that.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we introduce LC 2999 and do you want to do them separately?
Together is fine.
And LC 3000 as committee bill.
Representative Devlin moves LC 2999 and LC 3000, that's 3000, to be adopted as committee bills. Do we have any discussion? Any objection? So moved. All right, we will close that work session and we'll move to a work session to adopt committee rule amendments 15, 16, and 17. Representative Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I move rule changes 15, 16, and 17.
Thank you. Representative Devlin moves amendments 15, 16, and 17 to committee rules. Do we have discussion? I'd like to mention that we're also, as appending to that, we have the access and usage guidelines, which simply set up an order for the equipment and so forth in this process, orderly usage and access. All right, further discussion?
In that case,
are we,
Mr. Chair? Thank you, Mr. Chair. The again, this proposed work schedule sets up the three-member team of one senator, two representatives, and I just want to clarify that we make sure that we get plenty of public input in this process, and that I envision, given the quality of the estimates in the metropolitan area, that we'll be developing our own estimates there and maybe doing some countywide or metro-wide hearings.
Thank you. We will also have a public work station as well in this process.
Yeah, just for clarity, we are adopting the guidelines as well as the rules in your motion?
By reference.
By reference only. That does not establish them as the necessarily the guidelines that will be completely followed. It can be changed throughout the process, or
in the process, they certainly could be changed. Yes, I would just like to work with you, and if there does develop a problem in that, we need to have a serious discussion about that. And I'll be happy to have that discussion with you.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I think our broad understanding of this is that, in essence, we're adopting 15, 16, and 17, and if I would consider the process to be probably preliminary subject to our discussion, because there may be some changes that we seek in the process, just to give the chair notice that that may clearly be the case.
Thank you, Representative.
Mr. Chair, members, just so I think I'm tracking, the guidelines and usage document that's attached to the committee rules is not the process document that Representative Wilson was talking about earlier. It's the use of the computer equipment and that sort
right.
of thing. Okay.
Thank you. We have a motion. Do we have further discussion? Do we have any objections to adopt? Okay. Adopted. All right. Any further discussion before we go today? Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure working with you today.